All right. Good morning, everybody. Had an extra hour this morning. Everybody take advantage of that. Slip right on through. All right. Let's open up in prayer. We'll get started. And thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to come and gather together in your name. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the Word of God and the truth that it reveals to us to help us live in a freedom, Father God, that only you can give. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our helper, and our guide. And we thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to grow up spiritually. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Well, I'd like to... I'm not teaching out of the book. I'm going to let Wanda finish that up. And so we'd like to continue teaching on the three-part being what... started last week and didn't get very far, but anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. And I know I told you that I thought that was interesting. I was asking the Lord what to teach on, and then He said spirit, soul, and body. Then we go in service, and Pastor Todd starts preaching on spirit, soul, and body. I'm going, well, but God's good, you know. It's good to be on hearing the same things. And if it wasn't necessary that we study some of those things, then I don't think things like that would just not happen. You know what I'm saying? God is a great orchestrator, and He does put things together. And He puts people in the body as He sees fit. And we can draw from each other and learn things. And do we all have it down pat? No. No, but this is a process. We're not all on the same levels. Everybody knows that. And sometimes teaching things like this may seem simple. But what I've learned is when you go back and revisit something, you learn something even more. And it just kind of anchors it for you. Just kind of drives it home. And it's kind of like reading the Bible. It's just, you read it and you go, I didn't see that before, and that was it's been right there, and you've read it hundreds of times, and you go, I just, that really, but that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we really need in these times that we're living, is to be led by the Spirit of God. And anyway, I'd like to start off say I made a statement last week that your heart knows things that your head don't. That's true. When you get born again, you get recreated. Ain't that right? You are a new creation in Christ. It's what it is to be born again. And it says that old things passed away and all things became new. And of course we know that is our spirit man. Correct? Yes. But I don't think there's no argument there. At least I hope not. But one thing that we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And that's very important. If I'd have heard that when I was young, that would have really helped me. It would have helped me because when we were with my brother-in-law at the church, he has a talent to get people born again. I mean, he really does. It's amazing. The 2 years that we were down there, I don't know. I'm going to put it. I'm probably way off, but I'd say anywhere from 25 to 40 people got born again. And it was amazing. They'd walk in, and then they'd be, he would start ministering, and all of a sudden, they'd come up and want to be saved, want to be born again. He's like that. He has that anointing on him. That is his talent. And he can, I've been around him out in public, and he's just, he'll talk about the Lord and he'll bring it up and he'll, next thing he'll be praying with somebody. That's just the way he is. That's his gift. But what we were really struggling with is they would get born again, but they wouldn't stay. They wouldn't, and it was trying. We were trying to get things going and trying to get people hooked up, but we were having teaching classes and that sort of thing. But there once again. Because you didn't get a new mind or a new soul, and you didn't get a new body, Of course, that leaves avenue for the enemy to work. And so then you have to deal with your flesh, and a lot of people don't know it, but and then you know, you're not a mind, right? You're a soul. Your mind is housed in your brain. Does that make sense? Just like your spirit is housed in your body. So your brain houses your mind, your soulish part, and so if we could have got the people to come to hear some of that, I know it would have freed them up and really helped them. But anyway, you know, I was just thankful that they got born again. And I mean, they would come, and you know, when they were scheduled to be baptized, and, you know, we were doing it right in the river. So we were right there in the river, and people were getting back. Even when it was cold like this, it was amazing. They get born again, they want to be baptized right then. You know, just let's go down to the river and get baptized. And so you had to be prepared. I like that. I remember, it makes me think about Keith Moore, talking about him and Phyllis when they got saved. They went straight from the meeting. You know, it was like, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they went straight to the river and got baptized that night, you know. And she said it was cold. It was froze when they slid off the bank into the river. Now, that's cold, you know. But anyway, that's... But when you talk to people and they first get born again, you know, they're so excited because something happens on the inside. It just, it's a cleansing, it's a pureness that it's undescribable. And you try to talk to them and ask them, you know, what does it mean to you? I don't know. They just, you know, it's just a joy that they have. And then you're trying to get them to communicate to you because... you try to get them to understand it. Look, you've got to start renewing your mind. You've got to start doing that because you didn't get a new mind. You didn't get a new soul. You know, and that has to be divided by the Word of God. And that's the only way it's going to get done. And anyway, you are a three-part being. Your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, when it gets born again, your mind, your soul does not. And you do not get a new body. Not yet, anyway. But you're promised one, right? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Little participation goes a long way. Yeah. All right. So you're not a mind soul. You are a spirit. So many Christians are trying to live out of their minds, their soulish part, right? And a lot of Christians are. And I know a lot of them like that. And they're not living out of their hearts. A lot of Christians are trying to live life by the dictates of their flesh, and you know, their senses. You know, they're trying to be led by them. And what are the five senses? Your sight, smell, sound, taste, and touch. All right. So you know, if they don't feel like it, they're not going to do it. If you know, well, I don't feel so good today. I just don't think I'll go. You know. Well, I know I got that extra hour of sleep last night, but, you know, I could still use some rest today. Don't think I'll head to church, you know. Kelvin's teaching anyway. I know him. He just... But, I mean, that's kind of the way people think, right? But the importance is not on that. It's on the Holy Spirit, right? And what He has in each one of us. Because each one of us have our talents and our gifts. And if we're not together, then how can we draw from each other? Especially if we're apart. Anyway. All right, so each one of your senses is really important in your everyday life, of course. You use at least one of your five senses every moment of every day. And they are on duty even while you sleep. Your senses work together to let your brain know what is going on around you. So they're very important, right? Yeah. Well, don't the Bible talk about even having your senses trained to know right from wrong? It talks about that in Hebrews. Yeah, I think that's around Hebrews 4, chapter 4, somewhere thereabouts. But even having your senses trained to know right from wrong, so you can even, you know, oh, I don't even feel right. Now that's a check, right? It's kind of like I was thinking about this morning about, you know, I really enjoyed studying the 91st Psalm. It's been really great. And we've learned early here at this church that confession is very important. But how many know that, You can confess the 91st Psalm, and that's not what's going to keep you safe. Right? All right, if you're out here in life and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit influences one of your senses that, hey, I don't need to go over here. And you go, well, I've been confessing the 91st Psalm. I know God's watching over me. And you take off and you go over there and then something happens. Whose fault is that? Your own. That's right. See, all these things, we have to mature in all of it. Spirit, soul, and body. We just can't leave this part off because we... I know it says to crucify the flesh. There's a reason behind that. You know, we have to bring things into subjection because we need to live from our heart. Right. Not our head and not our senses. But it's so important that we understand, you know, when things are happening, going on around us, we have to be listening on the inside. And that takes time. You know, you're not going to learn to hear from God by not spending no time with Him, not developing a relationship with Him, but not reading His Word, and by just simply going day by day. It don't work that way. It will never work that way. And so, you know, you can see that from, especially being in a church like where we attend, you know, if your growth depends on you, right? If you're not applying yourself, then it costs you. it costs you a lot, really. But anyway. All right, so you may say, if a lot of Christians are living that way out of their minds, that was a joke, or about what's in their minds, not out of their minds. And by their senses, then it can't be all bad, right? If they're living by what's in their minds and by their flesh, it can't be all bad, right? Well, if you're not living from your heart or what's in your heart, and there, once again, because of the new birth, your heart knows things that your head and your body don't. And these things were put in there. And they're so divine that, you know, if God has a plan and a purpose and a will for your life, and the only way to get that is to develop a relationship with Him. And we're going to see that from the Word. We're going to read some of that here in just a minute. Most Christian people are trying to be led by what I call the moral compass, by the morals that they were taught when they were young. You know, and we talked about some of that last week. You know, things that we were taught growing up, and we can't discard all that and say that they were all wrong because, you know, Christian people back then were teaching you what they knowed, right? I mean, people who really had a heart. I mean, when I went to Sunday school, you know, I had some people that really loved God, really loved the Lord, and they taught us what they knowed. And I'm very thankful for that. You know, we can't discard that and say, well, because we have grown up in that, we realize that some of those teachings might not have been correct. But that's just called maturity, right? That's right. But we don't discard the things that we were taught. You know, they build some moral stability in our life. What are we seeing today? Moral decay and decline. You know, we're depending on things that people have taught their kids to, and we assume that they were right. But that's not true. I mean, now we got people teaching their kids that if you feel like a girl today, then you're a girl. If you feel like you're a boy today, then you're a boy. We're not trying to name your gender now. You know, we're not even wanting to put that on your birth certificate. I mean, really? I mean, we are declining in a rapid pace. And to take a back seat to it, and to you're going to realize that we're going to be very persecuted as these end times approach, and they're going to call you old fashioned. You're not. I'm not one of the progressive thinkers because that's what they're putting it all on. You know. Then you got entitlement. People think that they're entitled to all this. That they, you know, because I'm here. You know, and if I'm a girl today, then you need to respect that. You know. So you're gonna see all kinds of things. But that's what 1 Timothy 4:1 says that we're going to see seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and it's going to cause a departure from the faith. Oh, boy, I mean, you know. So, and I heard it explained this way too. So when something's departing, it's not, when something departs, like a plane taking off. You can see it. It takes off the runway and then slowly. The next thing, you know, a few minutes, it's up in the air and then it's gone outside. It's kind of slowly. And that's what the devil's been doing. He's been subtly putting these things in. And the next thing you know, you're in a... If you're not renewed in your mind and you're not being trained by to hear the Holy Spirit and know the will of God because you're participating and fellowshipping with Him, the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself in a state that you go, well, how did I get here? Because of the progressive thinking and the influences of seducing spirits. And it's very important. It really is. So, all right. So what is our standard? What's our standard as Christian people? What would you think would be the most important standard in our life?
That you honor Jesus in all that you do.
That you honor Jesus in all that you do. I like that. So to help us understand right from wrong and to train our physical senses to renew our mind, we have to do that with what? The Word of God. So that is our standard to everything in life. If it don't meet that standard, even what you know, then you know something's wrong. Even if you don't understand the full thing, if you've been training yourself to listen to God, even though you're not the most, somebody like me, not the smartest guy, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is the way some of them would say it. But I do know when I hear something. And I do know when I get a check that's not right, or that's not, you know. So if you see those sense, or you sense something, you know, or you know that you know. But that comes from relationship, right? So anyway, but when you receive those checks, then you know, even if you don't do it, but if you barge on into it, you know, then sometimes it's a consequence that you'll have to pay, and it can cost you dearly. So anyway, so the Word of God is our standard, right? And so we read 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Somebody want to read that right quick? I didn't have to turn there. I'll flip over and get it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It says right here, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Now that's what the Word of God does. It straightens us out and prepares us. Right? Revealed truth. Truth makes you free. Ain't that right? Now that's a half truth. The truth will make you free. You have to act on it. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So, see, there's stipulations in a lot of things to the Word of God. Just because, and that's what happens to us. A lot of times we get a half-truth. And we think that it just ought to work. And then we wonder, then we question why it don't. But anyway, so I wrote this down. I read this the other day, and I thought it was really good. It says a person's mind, created by God, is to gloriously function. That is true. Can become unfit if it is regularly exposed to toxic environments and wrong types of thinking. It can lose its ability to discern what is morally right and wrong. It is vital because your mind is not born again to transform it by renewing it. If you don't, conformity to the world will come. That was a quote by Rick Renner. And I think it's very good because we're in a world that we're constantly bombarded through our mind, all these things, you know. And so how you treat your mind is so important, and what you do with it. And we're going to read some scripture here before I get too far. So anyway, so let's go back to 3 John. That'd be good. So he was writing this to the elder to start with. And of course, we've all heard this many times. He was writing this to Gaius, I think that's how you say it. So anyway, he says, Beloved, I wish, or a better translation is pray. I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So we see that there's a stipulation there, right? As your soul is prospering, it can lead to good health, right? And a lot of people will argue with that and say that's not exactly what that means, but I like reading it for what it's worth. To me, that pretty much sums it up. God has given us complete health through Jesus, right? And we know that. But our part would be that we need to stay attached. We need to stay hooked up and not unhook from what he has done for us, right? Because if we unhook from that, then is our soul going to prosper in that? Absolutely not. Then our health could decline from that. A lot of things could happen. All right? And it says in verse 3, For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. So what are the brethren doing? They're testifying of what they see God's word working in their life, right? And he said, even as thou walkest in the truth. So they were walking in it, and the people who seen them said, look, they are really taking the word of God to heart, and they're doing something with it. So he's, you know, this brother's testifying about it. And he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Boy, I tell you, so there's a responsibility. You know, I can imagine when I get before the Lord, that would bring him great joy, wouldn't it? It does when my child is walking in some truth that, thank you, Lord, that's some good stuff right there. That's only you. Only you can do that thing. You know, I can't change that heart. Only you can change that heart. And to see them walk in that truth, and well, that brings some great joy. So anyway, so if you look over there to 2 John, no, just mine's side by side there, and look at verse 4. It says, he was talking to a lady here that in the church, and so he's conversing with her, and this is some of the things. And my Bible titles this, Live in the Truth. So it says, how happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. And now I want to urge you, dear lady, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us. That's what true love is. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, you'll obey me. So that's what true love is. And he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, and they do not believe that Jesus Christ came to the earth in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out, so that you do not lose the prize for which we have been working so hard. Be diligent, so that you will receive your full reward. For if you wander beyond the teaching of Christ, you will not have fellowship with God. But if you continue in the teaching of Christ, you will have fellowship with both the Father and the Son. If someone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite him into your house or encourage him in any way. Anyone who encourages him becomes a partner in his evil work. Well, that's pretty straightforward stuff, ain't it? That's the way I do it. I just read the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to show me. Now, I know I made the statement last week, and Wanda helped me see this the other day too. I made the statement of the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, which that is incorrect. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, not sins. The sin that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of is unbelief. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts the world of, is their unbelief. And that is called sin. Now, the Holy Spirit don't convict us of sin, right? He convicts us of righteousness, of our right standing with Him. He's there to teach us, to train us. What shows us what is right and wrong in our life? We just read it a while ago. The Word of God. So, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, He teaches us the Word of God. And this helps us straighten out what is right and wrong in our life. So, I said it wrong. My heart was right, but I said it wrong. But see, that's how we grow, ain't that right? That's how we get together and grow up in the Lord. So, but anyway, so that helped me. It helped me to understand that, you know, he's not condemning me. So where does condemnation come from? We understand. Enemy, right? But see, our conscience, God gave us a conscience, right? So our conscience, if our conscience is condemning us, there's a reason behind it, right? It's not to keep you beat down. It's to get your attention. So it's one of those, what is it, Lord? You know, that would be your first question, right? Something. So if you don't have a relationship, then what does most people do? What would most Christians do? Well, you just never know. Never know what's going to happen out here. Just, all of law. Well, sera, sera, you know. I mean, really. I mean, you hear Christian people talking that all the time. So, but see, there once again, it comes to your growth and how you transform your mind. And you know, but if you're receiving, if there's some kind of condemnation there, first of all, we know that that's not coming from the enemy, but it could be one of our senses is trying to instruct us to look. Look, Calvin, whoa, stop. And that's what we need to do. I quoted Dad Al James, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, sometimes we've got to be quick. And what does that mean? Just stop and listen. And quick to hear, slow to speak. Both my mouth's got me in a lot of trouble. You know, because I want a sharp answer right back. If I get a sharp answer, I'm ready to... But see, I've learned that that don't work. Because what happens? You have strife. So when strife comes in, what does the Bible tell us about strife? There's where every evil work is. So if you understand that about strife, then you know that if you retaliate, then you just open the door. And so there you go. So now, you know, it's a whole lot harder to get him out than it is to not let him in. So you can shut that thing down real quick. So that's, you know, but thank God. That's how you learn. That's training your mind. That's training your senses. Yeah, okay. All right. So we want to look at, I want to look at 1 John. So just flip over a couple pages there. Chapter 1. And 5 through 10. And my Bible title is this, Living in the Light. So what... Truth, right? So we want truth, but we have to continue in truth for it to be a benefit to us, right? God's not keeping it from you. He's keeping it for you, right? To help you. All right, so starting in verse 5, it says, this is the message He has given us to announce to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in Him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. Boy, that's pretty straightforward stuff there, ain't it? So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. Well, that's good, ain't it? I mean, fellowshipping in the truth. And that's what we're doing right now. We're fellowshipping in the truth. And we have the confidence that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. That we can walk up right before Him. That's helping us understanding our righteousness, our right standing with Him. And being with Him. Hey, there's no fear there. There's no condemnation there. There's complete joy there. And I would love for everybody to experience what the body can do for each other by just being around good believers. And, you know, it does so much. Anyway, so if we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from every wrong. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that His word has no place in our hearts. Boy, I tell you, that's good, right? So when things happen and we learn things from the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit shows us, you know, hey, look, this direction was not right. that action was not right. That motive, you know. You know, because, see, the Word of God, God knows the hearts, and He knows the motives that we have, the desires that we have. It's not to keep us. He wants the best for us, to bring us up higher and higher. And so, but when we have those things, then that's where the fellowship comes in. I'd go, Carol, you know, I've been thinking about this. How is this, you know, this is what's going on with me, and I need a little help on that, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But I know Carol's not going to get on. Caleb was just over my house here. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's terrible, ain't it? But I mean, okay. All right, so let's go to Romans chapter 12. And let's get close to the end here. Spirit, soul, and body. I just, man, it's so much truth here and so much revelation that could really help us as believers, and but never think that we know it all, because we don't. Every time I think I got a hold of something, then here comes something new. I'm going, whoo, boy, just getting started. All right, so Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. This is one of my favorites. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is." You know, that to me really sticks out to me. It says to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. So many people don't know what God wants them to do. I mean, I've been right there. God, what is it that you want me to do? I mean, can you just show me? just you know. You know, take the finger and write it on the wall. You know? But I guarantee you, if something like that was to happen, it would still be hard to do. Even if it was all spelled out. Because see, first of all, God is a God of faith, right? It's impossible to please Him without it. So He's not going to spell it all out for you, because I'm telling you, it'd be so marvelous. You go, oh, I could never achieve that. No, there ain't no way. You know, Go and get a whole city saved? Are you kidding? Get before the mayor of Christiansburg and be able to speak to the council members? Oh, Lord, are you really? See, what he does is he gives you a part. And then you take that by faith. And then as you grow in that, then he gives you another part. And then you take that. And then next thing you know, you look back and you go, Lord, you have brought me a long ways from where I used to be. And, you know, but if he showed you everything, it's so marvelous what he has for you. But if you really want to know what he does, then you got to allow him to change your mind on the way you think. And you ain't going to do that outside the Word. Yeah, I'm telling you. And you may say, well, how much time do I need to spend in the Word? That's always been a good question of mine. How much? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I get pretty dirty. Out here, depending on what I'm working on. If I'm working on an old car or something, I get pretty greasy, pretty nasty. I have to stay in there and scrub a little harder. Well, that's kind of the mindset I have. If the world's been really influencing me and making some bad choices, then I need a lot of scrubbing. That's a pretty good gauge for me. I mean, if it's giving me a hard time and I see myself getting short-tempered or something going on, or, you know, I'm not up to speed where I need to be, and then that's a pretty good gauge. I'm not spending nowhere near enough time. And so I'm sure that'd work for a gauge in your life too. But that's kind of how I gauge it. And so, you know, it's not just, you know, it says that we sing and make melody in our hearts. You know, you can keep a song in your heart. It says we pray without ceasing. Ain't that right? So staying, you can't pray all day long. That's not what that means. But you can stay in that attitude of hearing from the Spirit of God, right? You can have those senses trained. You can have your mind renewed, or a scripture on your heart and coming up from your heart into your head. Going, you know, and well, why am I thinking about that? Well, he may be preparing you for the next person that's going to walk up. You know, it's just a life that, you know, that is a fulfilled life, you know, and you don't have to be condemned over the way you live, and you know, because we're all growing, right? Just all right. So if you want to know what God wants you to do, then you've got to change the way you think, and that's changing it with Him, right? Then you will know what God wants you to do. And you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Now, ain't that interesting? You know, we used to say you and God are majority. Well, you, God, and your brothers and sisters. You know, by that whichever joint supplies. Talk about being, if you was that part, you was right there, that little part of that fingernail right there, that's you. Well, you got this joint, that joint, that joint, that joint, just to get down to this knuckle. That's a lot right there in itself. But how much does it take to get to the head, where he is? This wrist, this arm, elbow, shoulder, all these muscles, nerves, cells. Takes a lot, don't it? So if I'm going to fulfill my part, I got to have everybody else, don't it? I tell you, God is a great orchestrator. And to think that I made the mistake of telling my son when he was young. I said, look, son, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. Man, I thought I was telling him right. But that's wrong. That is so wrong. Son, you should be what God wants you to be. And the only way to do that is to get with Him and allow Him to show you what He wants you to be. and it'll be the best life in this world that you could ever ask for. See, that's growth. Did I tell him wrong? At that time, my heart was right. I didn't. But if he asks me now, I'm going to tell him right. All right. Spirit, soul, and body. It just keep. I know Pastor Todd's got some great stuff that's going to happen with that, and I hope he carries on with it, because I really think that that's where we are right now, and it can really help a lot of people, and even us older folks, right? So, all right, thank y'all very much.